This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark. Today on The Breakfast Grill, I have Datuk Sri M. Ramachelvam, co-chair of the Bar Council's Migrant Refugees and Immigration Affairs Committee and member of the Independent Committee on Foreign Workers. Datuk Sri, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome.
So you've been working on human rights issues for 13 years now. You were a founding member of the National Human Rights Society, HACAM, chair of the ASEAN Bar Association Coalition on Migration as well. So since you first began working on migrant worker issues, how have things changed?
Well, I would say that since I've started working on this issue about 13 years ago, things have not changed much.
Okay.
They have remained constant. The numbers of migrants have increased, but the issues and challenges remain the same thus far.
But since the new government has come into power after GE14, there has been a lot of discussion on the issue of foreign workers, and the Independent Committee itself has submitted its report on the migrant worker situation to the Human Resources and the Home Affairs Ministry. So can you tell us what were some of the key areas that you looked at during the study?
Okay, since the new government has come in, of course, one of the things that they've set up, as you have said, is the Independent Committee on the Management of Foreign Workers. It is an important area in our country, especially taking into account the number of legal and as well as undocumented foreign workers. We have, of course, with us approximately 2 million documented foreign workers, and the numbers for undocumented foreign workers vary from anywhere from 2 million to 4 million. Mm. So on the average, I think the foreign workers now comprise something like 25 to 30% of our workforce. Coming back to the point that you made, what are the areas that we looked at in the Independent Committee's report to the government? We looked at the area of what national policy changes that should take place. So the governance structure, for instance, whether the present governance structure works for industry, for the workers themselves, and more importantly, whether it represents the national interests, whether national interest is served by having multiple ministries and multiple decision-making and repetitive processing of applications, whether we should look at other modalities of having a single ministry, for instance, and having an online system, whether we should implement the multi-tier levy system, where there is flexibility for employers and employees and foreign workers to be recruited. So these are the areas that on a national level we have to make decisions. We have also looked at the issue of ratification of international instruments.
Mm.
Of course, the Pakatan Harapan government has said that it would ratify the Convention on Refugees, the Convention of Migrants, on migrants, and so on and so forth. So those are areas that we looked at, taking into account the promises that this new administration has made to the riot. And of course, the whole issue of the provision of sufficient financial and human resources to this whole area of foreign workers management on the part of government as well as the various stakeholders. So that's on the issue of national policy. We've also looked at the issue of recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of problems vis-a-vis recruitment. Industry is complaining. Workers are complaining. There's this whole issue of the high cost being paid by both employers as well as workers.
So when you say there are a lot of problems with recruitment, are you saying that there are leakages in the system?
Yes, that has been brought to our attention about the leakages and the unnecessary administrative structures that have come into play now We have been informed that a lot of services that were done by government and its agencies without cost, at fee payable to government only, has now been privatized to service providers. So those things have actually increased the cost to employers and employees as well. So these are issues that needs to be addressed at our local level. And of course, there is also this other major issue that one has to look at. The very expensive costs paid by migrant workers in the country of origin as well. There are some countries where they pay up to 20,000 ringgit to get a general worker job in Malaysia. This is unconscionable because they do not earn that money within a year.
And these are fees paid to middlemen, essentially, to bring them over into the country. In your findings, was there a way for the government to centralize this process?
Yes, we have made certain recommendations that is for government to consider. And one thing that is out in the public domain, I can tell you, is the recent memorandum of understanding that the Malaysian government has entered with Nepal. In fact, Malaysia has committed in that memorandum of understanding that it will be zero cost recruitment to the workers. And that is in compliance with international standards of migrant worker management and recruitment, where the international standard is zero cost for the worker. And Malaysia's government has already signed on with Nepal on the zero cost. And I think that should be the template. When we talk about recruiting migrant workers into Malaysia, that they do not pay costs in the country of origin, nor in Malaysia. And the other costs are fixed. Certain costs like costs of passport and so on and so forth, their personal costs and all that. Otherwise, I think the zero cost should be the way forward.
Now, since the committee produced its final report at the end of February, what have been the latest updates? Has it been brought forward to Cabinet yet?
It has not been discussed in Cabinet. However, the Independent Committee has briefed several of the ministers and stakeholders. Thus far, we have briefed the Minister of Human Resources on our findings. We've also briefed a joint meeting of the Ministry of Human Resources and the Minister of Home Affairs and his officials. We have further briefed the Cabinet Committee on Foreign Workers, which comprises the nine ministers and the other deputy ministers and officials from other related ministries. And we've also further briefed the GIACC, the Governance, Integrity and Anti-Corruption Department of the Prime Minister's, in the Prime Minister's Department, on the findings. And recently, we've also briefed the Deputy Prime Minister on the findings.
And what were the responses like towards the report?
What I would say is they've all expressed this is a major issue, that Cabinet is awaiting eagerly to resolve this matter. So it's left to Cabinet to decide on the recommendations. As I said, we are a group of individuals with no vested interest in the issue. We have looked at the issues in an independent and impartial manner. And we've made recommendations that we believe would be in the national interest, would be fair and just to employers, industry, as well as the foreign workers and local workers. Ultimately, we have to recognize that foreign workers do contribute significantly to our economy. So it's in our national interest that we have in place a system of management of foreign workers that works, that is not dysfunctional, that is not riddled with corruption. Our economic growth will suffer if we do not have a proper policy in place.
I've been speaking to Datuk Sri M. Ramachalvam, lawyer, activist and member of the Independent Committee on Foreign Workers. After this, we'll take a look at some other stakeholders in this issue. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Dato' M. Ramachelvam, co-chair of the Bar Council's Migrants, Refugees and Immigration Affairs Committee, as well as member of the Independent Committee on Foreign Workers. Now, earlier, Dato' M., we were discussing the fact that the committee has no vested interest in the migrant worker issue, but what about those who do? Have you held discussions with Malaysian workers' organisations, for example, or employers' groups?
Lynn, actually what we have done is when we started our work, the first thing that we did was we went on a series of roadshows, town hall sessions as it's popularly known these days, to get feedback throughout the country. So we had 13 roadshows where everyone was invited, members of the public, stakeholders, trade unions, everyone attended. And we had quite very good response. We had two each in Sabah and Sarawak, and we had at least one each in the various states in the peninsula. We further then went on to have a series of focus group discussions. We met the in-house and national trade unions. We also had focus group discussion with employers' associations, the Malaysian Employers Federation, the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers, those who were working with domestic workers, mama, papa, and so on and so forth. So we also had meetings with the UN groups in Malaysia, the ILO, Suhakam, the Bar Council. And one other factor which I thought another very important engagement that we had was with the migrant and refugee community as well.
I see.
So we did invite, and we had about more than 200 migrants and refugees who turned up. Most of them were migrant community leaders and refugee leaders, as well as service providers like MyEG, Formima, Bestinet, and so on and so forth.
So, but surely in the course of these engagements, you also encountered the argument that migrant workers are taking away Malaysian jobs. So how did you take that into account while you were formulating your policy recommendations?
Of course, there were some persons who raised this issue. But at the bottom line in our analysis of the entire situation is this. Malaysia has been in full employment for the last 15 or 20 years, because our unemployment rate is something like 4%, which is officially full employment. We have a problem, I think, as regards graduate unemployment, but not unemployment at the 3D sectors.
Yes.
When we are talking about these foreign workers, really, we are talking about those in the PLKS or this temporary work permit scheme. We are not really talking about the expatriate category, because these are the plantation sectors, construction, services, where we find that Malaysians are generally reluctant to work in these sectors. However, we recognize that there would be certain sector of Malaysians who would be employed in these sectors. And that is why even when we propose the multi-tier levy system, we say that there must be reservation of a certain percentage of employment in these sectors for Malaysian workers.
At heart, is this a minimum wage problem? Because as you've said, you know, Malaysians taking up 3D jobs, they do that in other countries outside of Malaysia where they can earn a better wage. So was that one of your considerations as well?
Yes, I think one of the problems that we are to a large extent still a labor-intensive, low-wage economy. At that, in those sectors. So, obviously, we are all for wages to go up. But even if wages do go up, I would think it would still be difficult to find Malaysians to work in those sectors. This is a living reality, not only in Malaysia, but in many parts of the world. Like in Singapore, for instance. Singapore's labor needs in the 3D sector is filled by Malaysians and South Asians. Mm-hmm. Singapore, of course, Singapore does not have a minimum wage thing. And Thailand has the same problem. Of course, I agree fundamentally that minimum wage should go up. But that is another issue which we have to look at. The whole issue of Malaysia being stuck in that low-wage trap, no?
Now, I'm speaking to Datuk Sri M. Ramachelvam, who is a member of the Independent Committee on Foreign Workers. Now, Datuk Sri, the government has introduced SOCSO coverage for documented migrant workers starting this year, and I'd like your take on it. Is it enough?
We, of course, welcome the government's move to introduce or extend coverage of SOCSO to migrant workers. It is in compliance with our international obligations, which we have ratified Convention 19, where there must be equality in treatment of workers. There should be no discriminatory practice between a migrant and a local worker. We feel that the EPF scheme is something that should be considered seriously for migrant workers.
But also these protections that are offered to migrant workers presently are only offered to documented migrant workers. But what about undocumented migrants? I mean, there was a recent labor court case of an Indonesian migrant worker, Nona, suing for unpaid wages, but the court ruled against her. What kind of policy change would be needed to offer someone like her protection?
If I may say, undocumented workers should be documented. That is the first and foremost matter that needs to be addressed. So therefore, I think government should consider a regularization program for undocumented workers. As we say, the numbers are huge. Coming to this issue of the Nona case, that is a decision of the Labor Court, which is a tribunal. The High Court is yet to pronounce the judgment. But if you ask me, my personal view as a lawyer is this. Whether one is documented or undocumented, that should not be a bar to a wage claim. There have been case laws in our courts where our courts have recognized the right of non-documented workers to be entitled to pay wages, as well as the right of refugees to be entitled to be paid wages. We must remember that in our system of law, the illegality in this issue, which they talk about, is an infraction of our immigration laws. It is not the illegality of the employment. The work done was legal. So that person should and must be paid her wages. That's my position.
Now, Datuk Sri, an issue facing migrant workers that you've highlighted is cost of healthcare. Could you perhaps shed some light for us? What is the issue currently facing them and what kind of protections do they have?
See, one of the major issues that migrants face in our country is the prohibitive cost of healthcare. To many of us who access government healthcare, it is actually very cheap, but it's heavily subsidized. But for foreigners, the full rate is charged. Take for a simple example, if a Malaysian gives birth at the government hospital, one pays 100 ringgit. Hmm. The same cost for a foreigner at the government hospital is 3,000 ringgit. If a Malaysian goes into hospital suffering an injury, for a week stay, the cost may be 500. For a foreigner, it will be 5,000 or more because they do not enjoy what is called the discount given to Malaysians. As far as documented migrants are concerned, they have a health insurance scheme which only covers if they are hospitalized. And of course, you have the whole host of undocumented migrants who would not have any form of insurance at all. So what we need to do is to ensure that healthcare is not only accessible, it should be affordable as well.
But how much would that then cost the government? Because I can imagine there would be some pushback on that front, considering we have, at latest count, 2 million documented migrant workers in the country.
The case that we make is this. In fact, every migrant or foreign worker in our country does pay levy. The levy runs into billions every year. So part of that levy can actually really be used to subsidize the healthcare costs.
Okay.
As far as refugees are concerned, again, these are very vulnerable people. We should treat, at least give some leeway. Maybe we should charge them the same rates as we charge Malaysians. The numbers are very small. You have a total of 164,000 refugees in Malaysia, so that's really not a big number.
And speaking of refugees, they currently do not have the right to work in Malaysia because Malaysia isn't a signatory to the UN Refugee Convention or the 1967 Protocol. So are there any conversations happening on whether we should introduce legislation to allow refugees the right to work?
It's the Bar Council's position, long-standing position, and I think civil society's position as well, that refugees must be given the legal right to work. We all agree that they work. I mean, they are in some sort of employment. If not, they would not be able to survive and feed their families. What we are asking for is that the legal right to work be given. And that can be done even without us ratifying the Refugee Convention. So all it needs is government policy. But the problem with Malaysia is, or rather, when I meet policymakers and civil servants and politicians, they come up with this argument of, if we give refugees the legal right to work, you know, the floodgates would be open, we will be swarmed with refugees. And this is a fallacious argument. Our refugee population has remained stagnant. They're about the 100 to 150, 60,000. And there's been some spike in the numbers in recent years because of the policies of the Myanmar government. But if one sees the 2016, 2017 problems, most of these refugees actually go to Bangladesh. They are not swamping Malaysia, so to speak. And mind you, if we give refugees the legal right to work, we will reduce dependence on foreign workers by that number. And that is the most logical thing to do, one would think.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Datuk Sri. It's been a real pleasure speaking to you. I've been speaking to Datuk Sri M. Ramachalvam, member of the Independent Committee on Foreign Workers. We'll be right back with more stories after this. I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile. Now with wider 4G LTE reach. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.